Each year, the Rams find contributions from a player you might not be expecting. So who's that player this year? That's next on Locked On Rams.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Travis Rogers. Thanks for making us a part of what you do. Not only do I host the Locked On Rams podcast, but I also host the Rams pregame show, the halftime show, and the postgame show on their flagship station, ESPN 710, right here in LA. We'll have that all for you, of course, on Monday, 2 hours before kickoff. We'll get that going at about 3:30 on Monday. So if you're in LA, go ahead and give that a listen, myself and my partner, my longtime partner since the beginning as well, Kirk Morrison. So hopefully you get a chance to check that out. While you're doing that, why don't you click that subscribe button in your podcast feed so you get it in your phone, laptop, however you're doing it, your car, you get it every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcast. And one last little favor too, go check us out on YouTube. Locked On Rams YouTube channel is another great way to consume the pod. Today's episode of Locked On Rams is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. Okay, here's what's coming up on the pod today. I want to talk about Cam Akers and what exactly is going on there. We'll try to figure out, you know, is he in the doghouse? Is he not in the doghouse? Is he the number one back? We'll talk about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. I want to get into the ridiculousness of power rankings and how meaningless all of that stuff is. I know that a lot of people do them and that people get twisted up about them. I'm going to give you a really good reason you can kind of let that stuff go. That's coming up in just a bit as well. But let's start right here. It seems that, you know, one of the things that I find about the Rams to be particularly impressive, and I've talked about this before, this is why you got to make sure that you're subscribing to the pod, is the culture that Sean McVay and Les Snead and Kevin Demoff and Stan Kroenke and everybody inside that building have created. It's arguably, I think, the hardest thing in sports to do, which is take a culture that is not good, take a culture that is constantly stubbing its toe, tripping on its own feet, whatever, you know, euphemism you want to use, and get them to where breaks happen because you're prepared. Breaks happen because you were doing the right thing all along and then an opportunity comes up, right? What's the John Wooden line that good luck is where preparation meets opportunity? I think the Rams embody that. I think they exemplify that, where you look at some other teams that are perpetually bad, and this isn't to pile on the Chargers. Chargers have great players. I think they have a really incredible roster, but tell me if they're not the perfect example of a team that always seems to find something to go wrong at the worst possible time. I believe that's cultural. I believe that's organizational, and that, you know, if you expect to have things go haywire, things will go haywire. If you expect things to work out and you prepare for them to work out, oftentimes they will, which brings us to this. Ben Skowronek. Ben Skowronek was a late round draft pick 2 drafts ago out of Notre Dame. He was a guy that was more, let's take a shot and see what it looks like. This was not somebody that's going to come in and get a bunch of catches. This is not somebody that's going to come in and be an integral part of your offense. This may be somebody that doesn't even make the team when you draft him. This may be somebody that, you know, if everything breaks exactly right in your rookie year, maybe you're looking at, you're playing some special teams and you get on the field in a few blowouts here or there. And maybe if everything goes perfect, you get to play in a game or two because there's some injuries and they're shorthanded and you're the next man up. Okay. That's not what happened with Ben Skowronek. All of that happened right up until, the Super Bowl. And he was thrown out there and asked to do a wide receiver's job on the biggest stage in football, arguably the biggest stage in sports, certainly in this country. And don't bleep it up. And he didn't. And he handled it. Now we come into this season. Van Jefferson gets hurt early. Van Jefferson is going to miss at least the next 3 games until he's eligible to come off the injured list and rejoin the team. And Ben Skowronek has seized this opportunity and done it in remarkable fashion. Now, it's not by just being the second coming of Cooper Kupp, which he's not, right? He had four, led the team with 4 catches last week, had 40 some odd yards. whatever it might be. That's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is he realized he had an opportunity to get on that field in that third wide receiver spot. And now I need to make myself valuable. Now I need to bring some things to this team that maybe other guys aren't going to be able to do. How can I do that? What if I play fullback? What if I block? What if I find a way to bring a wrinkle to this Rams offense that has never really existed before with two guys in the backfield, and now all of a sudden I can pull another defender into the box? If I split out, I got a guy that's much too big to cover me. If I do, I can carry the ball. I can open up holes for our running backs. And it's also and there's no risk involved. I can block. I'm going to be in the right position. I know the playbook. He's prepared to do these things. Oh, by the way, can you play some tight end too? Yeah, I can do that, right? They're very shorthanded at that position right now with injuries and suspensions and other things that have taken place. So, hey, we need you to step in and play tight end. Yeah. Hey, we need you to be your regular wide receiver. Got it. Hey, we need you to step in and be the fullback for sure. That didn't just happen one day where they woke up. This is the guys in the building. This is the guys working hard. He's prepared. He knows where to be. He knows how to go. He don't have to worry about him doing something dumb. It's just, this is a really interesting thing that the Rams have found out a way to do it with numerous guys along the way, whether it's offensive or defense, slide guys in, make them more valuable than they might have been somewhere else. And Skowronek's the perfect opportunity to, and it gives them all sorts of different looks. And when all of a sudden, when Van Jefferson does come back and he's in that third wide receiver role, he's going to have a role on this team, whether it's a backup tight end, whether it's the fullback spot or however they want to use him. He's demonstrated the ability to make himself valuable. And that's the entire game, right? Do something that I have to have. And I feel like this podcast is kind of drifting into the territory where it's an anti Tutu Atwell podcast, and I don't want it to be that. But what does Tutu Atwell bring to this team that you have to have? He's really fast. Yes. We're done with the list. Is that it? Is that all of it? Might be all of it. Still hasn't caught a pass. Tutu Atwell was a second round draft pick two drafts ago. Hasn't caught a pass yet. And I'm not talking about the line. I'm talking period, full stop. Hasn't caught one. Ben Skowronek, seventh round pick. He's catching balls in the Super Bowl. He's playing three different positions. Give me something that I got to have. And Skowronek is finding a way to do that. And Tutu Atwell has not. He's got to get on the board before too long. He's got to make one or two plays, make you go, oh, now I get it. Because so far, I don't get it. All right, coming up next, I want to talk about the ridiculousness of power rankings. That's straight ahead on Locked On Rams. As you gear up for fall, you're going to need to find the right people on your team to help your small businesses and make sure that it's firing on all cylinders. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a job post in just minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. That's a lot of people. Then you can add your job in the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right person to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and ultimately hire. It's why businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. How about this? Did you know that nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks again for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you click that subscribe button as well. My name is Travis Rogers. Okay, so power rankings. I realize that I'm aware of some of the hypocrisy that I'm about to spew right now, so bear with me here. I get it. They're fun to read. I get it that it's always exciting to see where your team may land on this power ranking or that power ranking. It's fun to get mad about how can they have us behind this team and then what's this team ever done and bang, 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 all the stuff that goes along with it. I get it. I like them too. But just don't put too much stock in this stuff. Don't, because one of the latest ones that come out has the Rams ahead of the Bills. That is just patently ridiculous. It's much like last year when the Rams were, you know, they were always in the top 10, but they were never in that top spot or two. It has nothing to do with what it's ultimately going to look like at the end of the season. For instance, Philadelphia, Are they good? Yeah, I think so. Are they the best team in the league? No, I don't think so. Are they the best team in the NFC? Maybe today, but I don't think that they're going to be there at the end. I think that experience is a big factor in this, and they don't have a ton of it, and I think that it'll start to bleed off. Cincinnati, do you think that they're a good team? I do, too. I do. I think that they're going to be in the mix again by the time we get there. Are they going to go to the Super Bowl again? I don't know. Does anybody? The point of all of this is, especially early in the season, it's 3 weeks into the season, right? And the Rams, week four, it's kicking off tomorrow night with the Bengals and the Dolphins, which should be awesome to watch. We don't know. I think that if you, me, and everybody else that watches NFL football, whether it's for a living or whether it's just for fun, said, give me the five best teams in the league, we would probably draw from a group of seven or eight teams, right? Because you kind of know who it is, but there's always going to be somebody that comes from the outside that pokes their head in there. Did anybody see Cincinnati coming last year? Is anybody super convinced that the Miami Dolphins are going to be there by the time we get to the end of the line coming up here in a little bit? I don't think so. I think that that thing is a mirage. I think that Tua is the ultimate mirage. Look, maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe, you know, we'll be sitting here doing Locked On Rams in January and the Dolphins will be getting ready to be the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, it's possible. That's the point of all of this. Who knows? That it is the flavor of the month. Who beat who? Who beat who last week? Who threw more interceptions last week? Look at how your team is playing. Here's how the Rams are playing. Here's why I am as bullish on them as I've been at any point in the season. The Rams laid an egg in the opener. They look like a bad football team. Buffalo looked like they might go 17-0 and run the table. Well, fast forward to 3 weeks. They have the same record. They're both 2-1. But the Rams' trajectory has improved. They were bad in week one, better in week two, escaped, right, against Atlanta. And then week three, I think it's the first time we've seen that team look like the team they're hoping to become. Now, they didn't do it for four quarters. They did it for about 2.5 quarters. They had some very good drives. They had some very flat ones. They still need to get Allen Robinson involved. They still need to figure out what's going on at the running back position. They need to get healthier. They need to get more experienced in the back end. All of these things are going to happen. But this is the point of this, that it's the trajectory that matters about your team, not where they sit in any given week, because the trajectory of the Rams has gone up every week. Now, they started way down here. There's a long way that they still need to go. It could flatten. It could dip. And this is kind of riding the wave, right? What does it look like week to week? It's fun to obsess about, but what does it look about quarter to quarter, half to half, beginning of season to end of season, the playoffs, how healthy are all of these things are far more important than some goofy ranking and where you land at any given point. Things just, as much as I love them, they drive me crazy. I needed to vent about the silliness of power rankings along the way. Something that is a little bit more serious. What are the Rams doing behind Matthew Stafford? What's going on with those running backs? Who's the man? Who gets the next opportunity? And why does Cam Akers have so much trouble staying out of the doghouse? That's coming up next on Locked On Rams. Thanks for making Locked On Rams your first listen every single day. Okay, so let's get into Cam Akers. Let's talk about the running backs. The list of guys that you thought you knew what you were going to get from or for at the running back position in the Sean McVay area is one name long. It's Todd Gurley. And even that didn't last a super long time. But when Gurley was cranked up, Gurley was going to get you 100 yards. He was going to score a touchdown, probably catch five or six passes, might get in the end zone there too. And Todd Gurley was more often than not going to be one of the two or three best offensive players on the field, regardless of opponent. He was that good. And the Rams rode him, and he was fantastic and good for Todd Gurley. And I hope to see another player like him come through at some point. But since then, the Rams running backs have been a real mixed bag of guys. Darrell Henderson, let's start right there. Darrell Henderson has been unable to stay on the field mostly. That's the biggest knock on him. But even when he's had his moments, he runs really hard. He'll have a couple of plays where he rips, you know, a little 12-yarder here, a little 15-yarder there. And you're like, oh, okay, there it is. And then there's a bunch of tackles behind the line. Then there's a bunch of, you know, where nothing really happens. And he does not appear to be one of those guys that can kind of make something out of nothing, right? Which, and a lot like quarterbacks, we talked about this on yesterday's edition of Locked On Rams, the throw that Matthew Stafford made spinning out of that sack and hitting Cooper Kupp for that first down on third down. that's a position where you want some guys to make something out of nothing. And that's not really what he does, which is why I think Cam Akers was brought in the year after that, because I think he can be that guy. He can be a guy that does, like, I didn't think there was anything there, and he turned that into a 6-7-8 yard gain. He got that corner, and all of a sudden, he's gone. You saw what I'm talking about on that drive where he had 53 yards rushing on one drive. Scored a touchdown, 14-yard touchdown, boom, he's in. And after Stafford threw that ball to Kupp, it was a quick one to Higbee, and then it was Akers, bang, touchdown. And it was, oh, wow, that, more of that, please. So I mentioned 53 yards on that drive rushing. He finished with 60-something in the game. You can't give me 50 yards on one drive and nothing the rest of the game. He had negative 1 yard. He'd only touched the ball twice, two carries. So this isn't opportunity. This isn't health, right? Because he's not going to touch it twice in the first half and then give him a bunch of it. He didn't get healthy automatically in an hour and a half. That's not what it is. He doesn't get nothing going and then something going because schematically you figured something out along the way. I mean, it's the game, right? Little tweaks here and there, but nothing dramatic. So what the hell's going on? Why do you get this guy that is so pedestrian for 1 minute and then so incredibly dynamic the next? And I think that's the whole problem. I think that's what Sean McVay is getting at. I think that's why we saw him in the doghouse in the opening game against the Bills. I think that's why we saw him get used reasonably frequently against Atlanta and why he was right back in the doghouse again against the Arizona Cardinals last week. Because there's no way that he's deciding these things game plan wise. And no, we won't use him at all and then we'll use him a lot. No way. That's not Sean McVay's style. So the only thing it can be is a conscious decision to leave him out of games, to try to get him fired up to come back in the games after. We talked about it on a previous pod that, you know, hey, he needs to take advantage of his opportunities. That's what Sean, maximize his opportunities. In other words, dude, if I'm going to give you the ball, you better do something. And not only that, you better prepare for me to give you the ball. And this is kind of what I'm hearing, the, you know, ear to the ground kind of stuff, that he's a really good player. He's the best back on this team, but he's not preparing like that. He's not preparing like, this is my gig. I need to be ready to go. Or he's in this, it is my gig. So I'm going to get it no matter what. He needs to get serious about this. He needs to take more of the approach of an Aaron Donald sort of guy, a guy that's out there every single day, that's working the most in practice, in the weight room, all of these other things, and prepare to be the man, to go be the man. Because what he's got going right now just is, it's not going to work. You go in a game against Monday Night Football against the 49ers, it can't be, well, are we going to get Cam Akers that rushes for 8,500 yards or three? No. And is he going to get 15 or 18 carries or two? It's up to him. It's not even up to Sean McVay. Sean McVay is only going to do what he thinks is the right thing to do to win the game in the moment. If he didn't think the guy's prepared, if he doesn't think he's – and I'm not even – it could be weight room stuff. It could be training room. It could be being late. It could be a million different things. But this feels punitive because the football, when he gets the ball, it's pretty good. So why are we not giving him the ball? What is he doing wrong? Is the light not going on? These are the things that they need to figure out. I would love to see a game where Cam Akers is back there to start. Cam Akers is back there in the second quarter, back there in the third quarter, back there in the fourth quarter, and closing out the game with big runs. That would be ideal because it means he's starting to do things that Sean McVay wants to see from him leading up to Sundays, leading up to those games, because that can only be the thing that's keeping him from being on the field on a regular basis. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rams. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson giving you the expert NFL analysis that you need in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. We also will be talking with Brian Peacock. That's coming up on our crossover edition of Locked On Rams with Locked On 49ers. That, of course, is coming up on Thursday. Till next time, whose house? It's Locked On Rams' house.